RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo received Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. India to launch Indonesia satellite into orbit. Government should ban threatening websites. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi at the Merdeka Palace on Friday afternoon. The two leaders attended a state memorial ceremony accompanied by a 21-cannon salute. The ceremony was followed by a meeting between both presidents and a bilateral meeting between the two countries' delegation. During the meeting, President Joko Widodo was accompanied by Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution, Defense Minister Yamir Zatriakudu, and Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin. Foreign Ministry spokesperson Armanata Nasir said that Egypt is Indonesia's biggest trading partner in North Africa, with a total bilateral trade reaching $1.4 billion last year, and Indonesia is enjoying a surplus. Nasir emphasized that the total Indonesian investment in Egypt has reached $260 million, and mainly is in the instant food products, textile, tires, and glassware industries. As both Indonesia and Egypt are members of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or OIC, the two countries' president and delegation also plan to discuss the progress made through their efforts to harmonize Islam and democracy. President Joko Widodo officially inaugurated a satellite that will be launched in October in India to aid maritime activity. The satellite, Lapan-A2, is the country's first satellite that will fly along the Earth's equator. He praised the National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, or Lapan, for conducting research that had led to the production of the satellite. President Joko Widodo added, "This is the kind of concrete research that we need." Lapan head Thomas Jamaluddin said that Lapan-A1 was launched in 2007 and still exists in orbit at the height of 630 kilometers, but its operation ended in 2013. The new 78-kilogram satellite will orbit 650 kilometers above the Earth. In addition to supporting maritime activity, it will aid emergency communications during natural disasters. Noted Islamic scholar Azumardi Azra urged the government to take down websites with violent or terroristic content because they could threaten the country's security and unity. He also said recently that many websites contain themes of violence, radicalism, and terrorism, and these websites had spread on the internet, and furthermore, that they could be easily accessed by anyone. Azumardi, who is also director of the postgraduate program at the Syarif Hidayatullah State Islamic University, advised the government to act prudently and take down the websites. He explained that the governments of China and the United States actively take down all websites containing violence and radical notions. He added that it's inevitable that the internet will broadcast violent and radical notions. He pointed out that people tended to engage in violent actions after watching radical notions broadcast over and over again through the internet. Last March, the Communication and Information Ministry took down 19 Islamic websites that allegedly contain violence and radical notion. The leadership of the National Police has sent a signal that the days of powerful Commissioner General Budi Waseso as the chief of the Force Detective Division are numbered, and his dismissal is now just a matter of time. Alluding to the possible dismissal of Budi, National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti said on Thursday that every member of the police force must be prepared for a high-level leadership rotation. He said that sooner or later, rotation will take place. This will allow the force to regenerate. Chief Badruddin also revealed that the National Police Rank and Promotion Council for high-ranking officers was discussing a possible rotation within the force that could involve General Budi Waseso. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Sultan Taha Saifuddin Airport in Jambi continued to remain shut on Friday as thick smoke blanketed the province. The airport's operation chief, Parolan Simanjuntak, said on Friday evening, 12 flights from the airport were cancelled due to the smoke. He said that normally the airport caters for 36 flights to and from the airport per day. The airport operates from morning to night. The last flight from the airport departs at 7:45 p.m. and the last flight arrives at 8:30 p.m. He said visibility at the airport was above the normal limit on Thursday night. He further said visibility was 2,200 meters at 8 p.m., but only one plane landed at the airport and no planes took off on Thursday. September the 5th is annually celebrated as the Day of International Charity. Charitable activity has important value to foster community development. On the sidelines of a press conference about the exhibition of the Red Cross 70th anniversary, Head of Volunteer Division of Indonesian Red Cross PMI, Muhammad Muas, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, on Friday afternoon said that charitable contributions are expected to reduce poverty around the world. Charity can at least alleviate the burden of suffering in the context of providing assistance to victims of both natural disasters and war or other humanitarian issues.
Ya, kita harapkan dalam International Charity Day ini, artinya dalam tahun yang
we hope with the International Charity Day we can unite together regardless religions we adhere to, ethnicities and others. We build togetherness and try to help relieve the burdens of those who are suffering. So it is one of the seven principles of the Red Cross, namely a humanitarian issue, humanity, and universality. In addition, Muhammad Muas also said that the Indonesian Red Cross PMI invites the public to care for each other among fellows in their respective neighborhood, giving concerns in the form of charity or assistance for people in need is expected to be positive habits among Indonesian people that can build awareness to foster a prosperous society. Last item. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, accompanied by State Secretary Minister, Foreign Minister, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs and Minister of Defense, received the state visit of the Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi at the State Palace in Jakarta on Friday. In a bilateral meeting between the two, they have discussed trade and investment between the two countries and promoted Islam peacefully as well as the protection of Indonesian citizens in Egypt. Spokesperson of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Friday said,
terkait dengan ekonomi,
it related to the economy on the protection efforts and Indonesian investment in Egypt, which trade worth around 260 million. It opens our market. Secondly, it related to how to promote Islam peacefully and at the same time Islam and democracy go hand in hand.
The third is related to the protection of quite large Indonesian citizens in Egypt. There are about 1,800 Indonesians, and how well we address the problems of traffic in persons there.
Armananta Kristiawan Nasir further said that in addition to discussing the bilateral issues between the two countries, Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Egyptian President Al-Sisi have also talked about various regional issues. Afterwards, Armananta Kristiawan Nasir added, both heads of state and governments also signed a memorandum of understanding on visa exemption for diplomatic passport holders and official passports, as well as cooperation on the two countries' diplomatic trainings. Since 2014, the total amount of trade between Indonesia and Egypt has reached $1.4 billion. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo receives Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. India is to launch Indonesia's satellite into orbit. Government should ban threatening websites. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in the week press review compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. Let's start from Business Indonesia Daily. In its editorial on Monday, August the 31st, Business Indonesia writes an editorial on To Move the Economy. This week, the government once again announced a package of economic policies with broad coverage to show that Indonesia is ready to face the world economic slowdown. Business Indonesia expects this would be a strong and comprehensive package to convince business people that the government is getting ready to cope with a slowdown in the domestic economy while reducing the risk of global economic slowdown. Moreover, business people in the country have shown optimism that Indonesia will soon rise from the risk of economic slowdown, provided that the government will take the right policy which is comprehensive and business-friendly. This would strengthen confidence, as stated by President Joko Widodo, when all parties ready to work together to improve the national economy, Indonesia will be surely able to exploit its greatest potentials that has not been fully explored. Even if necessary, Business Indonesia writes, the president may declare a movement such as the national movement of moving the economy. It can be built through consensus, starting from the government, politician, community leaders, economic and business leaders, academician, and even the media. According to Business Indonesia, businessmen, investors, economists, analysts, and the market need to get clarity that the government has the ammunition from various parts in order to anticipate the deterioration of the economy, even turning them into economic revival. The next review is of the Media Indonesia Daily. In an editorial on Tuesday, September the 1st, the newspaper wrote, guarding the house in testing candidates for the Corruption Eradication Commission leadership. Selection of the Corruption Eradication Commission leadership candidates by the selection committee has been finished. The committee, though did not announce their names, had established 8 candidates for the commission leaders. After announcing the names to the public, the president handed over the 8 names to the House of Representatives. The 9 ladies of the committee, who work hard day and night, were strict in selecting 8 candidates from hundreds of names who had signed up. Through a series of long and laborious process, they eventually produce candidates who are believed to be the best. Thus, according to Media Indonesia, it is fitting that all parties give the highest appreciation to the selection committee. Without their hard work, it is impossible for the House to run the next stage of the selection process, that is, the fit and proper test. This is then to be observed simultaneously and be guarded together by all of Indonesian people. According to Media Indonesia, all parties understand there are various ways to bring the situation in the fit and proper test so that certain candidates obtain a special treatment while others not, or treated in a discriminatory manner. Media Indonesia Daily warns
The fit and proper test at the house later is conducted honestly and fairly without the spirit of like and dislike, without surrogate candidates in any way. By doing so, the president will truly set a definitive 5 commission leaders who will work to prevent and eradicate corruption in Indonesia in accordance with the rules and applicable law. To end the week's press review, Republika Daily, in its editorial on Wednesday, September the 2nd, writes on reducing the wave of layoffs. The economic crisis has become a global threat, and the economic crisis is often always impact the victim. In addition to decreasing purchasing power, the threat of job cuts to reduce the burden of the cost is an alternative often carried out by employers in order to avoid something worse in a crisis situation. Termination of employment, either of workers or professionals, can be said to represent the effects of any economic downturn. It is also happening today in the country. A wave of layoffs have begun to occur as a result of slowing economic growth. The decline of the rupiah against the U.S. dollar has worsened the situation and hampered the Indonesian economic efforts to rise from effects of the global economic downturn, since most of the Indonesian industry still rely on imports. According to Republika Daily, the government should be able to take advantage of the large domestic market to prop up the economy. If the export market is bad this time, the population of Indonesia, which amounted to 240 million, could become a promising market. From now on, it's time for the government to promote the domestic market. Development projects in the country should be activated in any sector, whether from government, local government, state-owned enterprises, and private enterprises, because they will contribute to economic growth and consequently the number of unemployed as a result of a wave of layoffs could be trimmed. Well, that was this week's press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listen up and again with me, Anya Sana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on September the 5th, 1905, when the Treaty of Portsmouth was signed. The Treaty of Portsmouth formally ended the 1904-1905 Russo-Japanese War. It was signed on September the 5th, 1905, after negotiations lasting from August 6th to August 30th at the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard in Kittery, Maine, in the United States. President Theodore Roosevelt was instrumental in the negotiations and won the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts. And the next event was in 1945, when Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX of Yogyakarta declared his sultanate as part of the Republic of Indonesia's territory. Yogyakarta is a city and the capital of Yogyakarta Special Region in Java, Indonesia. It is renowned as a center of education or Kota Pelajar, classical Japanese fine art and culture. In 1942, the Japanese Empire invaded Dutch East Indies and ruled Java until they were defeated in 1945. Sukarno proclaimed the independence of the Indonesian Republic on August 1945. On September 5, 1945, Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX issued a decree of sultanate, which is known as Mandate of 5 September 1945. The decree stated that Yogyakarta Sultanate is part of the territory of the Republic of Indonesia. And the last event was in 2005, when Mandala Airlines crashed after taking off in Medan, North Sumatra. Mandala Airlines Flight 091 was a scheduled domestic flight that originated from Polonia International Airport in Medan, Indonesia, to Ngurah Rai International Airport in Denpasar, Bali, via 4 airports in Indonesia. On September 5, 2005, at 10:15 a.m. local time, the flight crashed into a heavily populated residential area seconds after taking off in Medan. There were 149 fatalities, Dozens of houses and cars were destroyed, and 49 people perished on the ground. 17 passengers survived the accident, with 100 of those on board known to have died. Most of the survivors are thought to have been seated at the rear of the aircraft, though some have reportedly since died from their injuries. Most of the dead were Indonesian, although at least one Malaysian, T2 Chuan from Sabah, was reported dead. Rizal Nordin, the governor of North Sumatra at the time, and Raja Inal Siregar, the former governor, were among the dead. Flight 091 is currently the third deadliest aviation accident in Indonesia, after Garuda Indonesia Flight 152 and Indonesia Air Asia Flight 8501. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Sarah Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The theme of today's focus is the U.S.-Indonesia's cooperation in electricity. The United States is keen to support the development of 35,000 megawatt power plant launched by the government of President Joko Widodo. The Indonesian government also opened up opportunities for U.S. investment. This was manifested in the Memorandum of Understanding on Cooperation Plan named Power Working Group. The Memorandum of Understanding was signed by Indonesian Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Sudirman Said, and U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia, Robert O. Blake, on Wednesday, September the 2nd, in Jakarta. 52 private companies and 11 U.S. supervisory agencies in the financial sector and the Renewable Energy Plan are to participate in the cooperation. Ambassador Blake told reporters that the U.S. companies interested in the 35,000 megawatt electricity project are all well-known companies. Some even have long been in Indonesia. According to Ambassador Blake, in the next few years, they will work together to build power plants which are clean, efficient, and low cost. Meanwhile, Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Sudirman Said explained, because it is still under a memorandum of understanding, the Indonesian government has not been able to ascertain how many megawatts U.S. contribution in this project. Details of cooperation are in the hands of the state electricity company PLN. However, Sudirman ensured that U.S. companies will focus on renewable energy. Minister Sudirman explained the Indonesian government remains open wide the doors of investment for any country interested in the 35,000 megawatt power plant program. Support of all parties is needed, he said. Previously, the Japanese government has expressed interest in the program, which is spread across 210 locations in Indonesia. The state electricity company PLN is required to build a power plant of 5,000 megawatts. The remaining 30,000 megawatts will be handed over to private companies with investment value ranging from 1,100 trillion rupiahs or $78.6 billion. That was Focus Today. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with some headlines of national newspapers published in Jakarta today, September the 5th, 2015. Let's begin with Kompas Daily, which in its headline writes, "Haze is already in emergency state." Thick haze from forests and land fires blanketing some areas in Sumatra and Kalimantan has been categorized as an emergency condition because they interfere with people's lives. This should be overcome urgently by the multi-sectors. Until Friday, the Ministry of Environment reported there were 156 hotspots, source of smoke in Sumatra and Kalimantan. In the meeting about the haze at the presidential office on Friday, President Joko Widodo ordered all relevant stakeholders to tackle the haze. He said the handling of the smoke nationally would be under the coordinating Ministry of Environment and Forestry. Next is Republika Daily, which writes in its headlines, "Budi Waseso left 67 corruption cases." Chief of the National Police Crime Investigation Commissioner General Budi Waseso at the National Police Headquarters in Jakarta on Friday said currently there are 67 cases of corruption being processed in the criminal investigation of the police. He entrusted the settlement of these cases to the head of the National Narcotic Agency,
Commissioner General Anang Iskandar, who has been appointed as his successor. According to Budiwas Seso, of the 67 cases, 60% could be brought to the level of investigation, alias can be specified suspects. Chief of the Police of the Republic of Indonesia, General Badrodin Haiti, confirmed the replacement of Budiwas Seso on Thursday night and said the handover will be held next week. Last is the headline of Media Indonesia newspaper, which said the government recalculates the speed rail project. After President Joko Widodo rejected the proposal of Superfast Train Project, the determination to build a fast or medium Jakarta-Bandung train project retained. According to the Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, Rini Sumarno, in Jakarta on Friday, that the decision to build the railway construction was the President's desire to encourage economic development. However, Minister Rini said the government will not spend a dime from the state budget for this project. She said the project would become a pure business from a consortium of state-owned companies and investors who are the winning bidder. That was the newspaper headlines of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi at the Merdeka Palace on Friday afternoon. President Joko Widodo officially inaugurated a satellite that will be launched in October in India to aid maritime activity. Noted Islamic scholar Azumardi Azra urged the government to take down websites with violent or terroristic content because they could threaten the country's security and unity. The leadership of the National Police has sent a signal that the days of powerful Commissioner General Budiwas Seso as the chief of the force's detective division are numbered and that his dismissal is now just a matter of time. The Sultan Taha Saifuddin Airport in Jambi continued to remain shut on Friday as thick smoke blanketed the province. September the 5th is annually celebrated as the Day of International Charity, and charitable activities has important value to foster community development. The day is expected to encourage and motivate people to care for each other. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, accompanied by State Secretary Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs and Minister of Defense, received the state visit of the Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi at the State Palace in Jakarta on Friday. In a bilateral meeting, they discussed trade and investment between the two countries and promoted Islam peacefully, as well as the protection of Indonesian citizens in Egypt. That was the end of News in Brief. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequency of 95.25 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Parung, Bogor, West Java, to have a close look at the giant Al-Quran at Al Asriyah Nurul Iman Boarding School. Stay tuned. Listener, Al Asriyah Nurul Iman Boarding School, which is located at Parung Subdistrict Bogor Regency, West Java, is very famous, even abroad. It is because Al Asriyah Nurul Iman Boarding School has a gigantic sized Al-Quran. It is not an ordinary Al-Quran. This 300-year-old old holy book is made from 2 meter long and 2.8 meter wide banana bark. Listener, according to the history, in 2009, Habib Sagaf, the founder of Al Ashriyah Nurul Iman Boarding School, received a big-sized Al-Quran made from banana bark from Philippines Moro Muslim Group. Habib Sagaf has said that this Al-Quran was written by a son of Sunan Bonang, but nobody really knows why this Al-Quran was in Moro Muslim Group and then this was sent to the Al Ashriyah Nurul Iman Boarding School. Sunan Bonang himself was one of propagators of Islam in East Java. The Arabic writing on the Jain Al-Quran uses a handwriting and a special ink. It needed 2 and 3 persons to make this Al-Quran. Listener, the existence of this giant Al-Quran from banana bark at Al Ashriyah Nurul Iman Boarding School has attracted many people. The boarding school manager said that this holy book becomes the spirit among the students to memorize Al-Quran. Well then, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder featuring a giant Al-Quran made from banana bark at Al Ashriyah Nurul Iman Boarding School. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. In today's edition, I will invite you to have a look at one of the rare animals that exist in Papua, Indonesia. The three kangaroo, and beside 5 short waves, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. As an archipelagic country, Indonesia has abundant wealth not only in natural beauty but also the living beings in it. Deep in the jungle of Papua, there is a type of kangaroos that live in peace. The kangaroo of Papua, in contrast to the famous kangaroo of Australia, live on top of large trees in deep jungles of Papua. The size and fur become clear differences that can be seen by the human eyes. Its towering body is covered with brown color, which is a hallmark of kangaroos that we usually find in Australia. Though it has a great body, the three kangaroos is not so tall, while the color of the fur is dark brownish. Indeed, the big and fat body is a characteristic of three kangaroos. As the name implies, a three kangaroo live up on the trees. They are largely dependent on trees. There are three types of three kangaroos found in the forests of Papua. First, golden-coated kangaroo, which is short-haired, golden-brown in color with yellowish around the neck, head, and legs. The second type is the ornamental tree kangaroo, which has short black fur with a white stripe on the belly. The third tree kangaroo is classified in the rainforest of Papua. It is Nemina tree kangaroo, or better known as Wakira tree kangaroos. This type has short hair with black long ears and tail. It is often found in lowland forests of Papua. Of the three types of tree kangaroos, the current population of the entire tree kangaroos are only 50. This is what makes the tree kangaroos become endangered species. Not only their habitat has begun to decrease, illegal hunt of these rare animals has made the tree kangaroos population significantly reduced.
Three kangaroos are included in the list of endangered animals. The rainforest in highlands of Papua is now the remaining habitat of three kangaroos. Their existence has been duly protected and conserved, so people should also be aware that three kangaroos should not be hunted. Knowledge of the existence of three kangaroos should be better disseminated to the public so that the people of Papua can preserve these rare animals. Hopefully, the government and the Papuan people can continue to preserve the existence of three kangaroo habitat in the future. Well, that was Miss Eleni with information about endangered three kangaroos of Papua. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow with another edition of Miss Eleni.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition, through shortwave, 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through mobile application RRI Play and RRI World Service on your smartphones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to Papinka Band from Sumatra. Papinka is abbreviation from Pangkal Pinang, Kota Bangka. This band offers pop romantic lyric in their hit single entitled Dirimu Bukan Untukku, or in English means You Are Not For Me. Well, VOI listeners, to initiate Music Corner for today, let's listen to Di Mana Hatimu or Where Is Your Heart? Let's check it out.
Kau dapat rasakan hatiku, rasa cintaku padamu. Kau yang selalu menduakanku, sungguh terluka hatiku. Sekian lama ku memendam rasa, rasa hati yang terluka. Tapi bila kau bahagia, rela ku melepaskanmu. Karena cinta dalam hatimu, semua itu memang bukanlah untukku. Bahagialah selalu dalam hidupmu, bila kau mencintainya, tak bisa ku melupakanmu. Diriku yang menyayangimu, kau yang dulu yang selalu ku rindu. Dirimu bukanlah yang dulu, diriku yang mencintaimu, semoga selalu bahagia hidupmu. Dirimu bukanlah untukku. Sekian lama ku memendam rasa, rasa hati yang terluka. Bahagia, rela ku melepaskanmu.
It is not easy for Papinka band to enter the Indonesian music industry. It requires hard work and persistence of Papinka personnel, which consists of Sefra Yolandi vocalist, BJ drummer, Rio guitarist, and Andre bassist. It's worth giving thumb up. They intended to make their band having opportunity on national stage. Because of their strong talent in music through audition, finally Papinka band was established. Together with their manager Agus Arif and Himawan Chandra alias Berry, they created a song entitled Dimana Hatimu, or in English means Where is Your Heart? Then they offer the single to Nagaswara. The single Dimana Hatimu tells about love and private experience, about a love couple who has been together for years but finally separated. VOI listeners, here is Dimana Hatimu.
Kasih di mana hatimu, tak pernah coba melupakanmu.
In their career, Papinka Band has a motto, namely TIM, meaning T-Time Schedule. Every personnel must have schedule in their activities. Then in innovation, Papinka personnel must look for a new thing in playing music, and the last motto is maturity, namely mature attitude, meaning not winning, arrogant, and low profile. Papinka Band is popular in Pangkal Pinang, where they come. Papinka fans are called Papiners. Papinka personnel always greet Papiners through Facebook and Twitter, Papinka Band. Well, VOI listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to songs from Papinka Band entitled Koplih Dia, or You Choose Her, and Luka di Hatiku, or Hurt in My Heart. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Dalam hidupku, rela untuk bertahan dengan dirimu. Sungguh terlalu kau sakiti diriku, tinggalkan aku. Haruskah ku melupakan dirimu di dalam hidupku? Namun aku tak akan pernah mampu ku mencintaimu. Mengertilah sesungguhnya, bila kau memilih dia, tak bisa, ku tak rela. Ku pasti terluka karena dia yang kau cinta. Kini semua berbeda, kau dan dia bahagia. Hati sakiti diriku, tinggalkan aku. Haruskah ku melupakan dirimu di dalam hidupku? Namun aku takkan pernah mampu ku mencintaimu. Mengertilah sesungguhnya, bila kau memilih dia, ku tak bisa, ku tak rela. Ku pasti terluka karena dia yang kau cinta. Kini semua berbeda, kau dan dia bahagia. Hatiku terluka, mengertilah sesungguhnya, bila kau memilih dia, ku tak bisa. Ku pasti terluka.
cinta, kini semua berbeda. Kau dan dia bahagia, hatiku terluka.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green. Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Jika teringat tentang dirimu, berlinang air mataku. Ku rindu saat-saat bersamamu, kasih sayangmu padaku. Namun kini kau bukan milikku, dan berakhir sudah cintaku. Biarkan saja hatiku bicara, ku masih sayang padamu. Aku selalu mendoakanmu agar kau bahagia bersama dirinya selamanya. Mengapa mudahnya hatimu mendua? Ku lapangkan dada walau aku terluka. Semoga bahagia bersama dirinya, karena kau telah memilih dia. Betapa sakitnya apa yang ku rasa. Tuhan kuatkanlah hatiku yang terluka.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. Or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.